flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your request, plus for text line 410-583-1057. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. We'll bust that one out for you in about an hour, 45 minutes or so. But yesterday, end of season press conference. John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta met with the media, and the Ravens have things they need to address in the offseason, and one of them is kick returner. Right, Harbs?
Yeah, I mean, I think from a personnel standpoint, we'd like to get settled there. Kickoff return is different than punt return. Eric and I talk about this a lot. You know, you can find kickoff returners. Running backs seem to be really valuable in this new return game thing. And we have really good running backs who are, you know, we have three guys that are really good at it as running backs. So I'm pretty excited about those guys going forward. Punt return is a whole different thing. You know, how many guys have done both? I had Brian Mitchell. Brian Westbrook was able to do both. James Thrash was only a kick returner. The guys who have been here over the years have been kind of like that. Some have been both. Some have been more punt return oriented. We need to get settled at punt returner. You know, that's a huge role on the team.
It's totally different. Punt returner and kick. For a running back, kick return, I mean, the ball is end over end, and it's not up high, and you got to judge it and everything else. You know, so it's easy to catch. And then with the new rules, you get it. You know, you can't come after them until they catch the ball and go. So it's basically a yak is what it is. And your running back, it's a good spot for your running backs. And I think it'll be Keaton Mitchell and Ali and Justice Hill. You know, it'll be two of those three probably doing it. But punt return's not easy. Let me just tell you, like, catching that ball, there's a couple things. Because, like, in college, like, they had me doing it. And it is because you got to look at the tip of the ball. Because when the tip of the ball starts to come down, then it's coming down. Otherwise, you got to be able to study, you know, like, the carry of the ball. It's kind of like being a center fielder. The only thing is the difference between a center fielder and a punt returner. When you're sitting down there, you're going to get drilled, you know, when you catch it. So you got to have some, you know what,
sure,
you know, to hang in there to catch the ball. Plus, the difference between kick returner and punt returner, you got to make that first guy miss like, bam, like right now. You got to, you know, so you got to have a feel for that. And when you're a punt returner, you're looking at the ball, you got to take a peek at the rush to see where it's coming, to see kind of your exit route, where you want to go. So you got to kind of take a peek, look back up the ball, get back, you know, kind of like an outfielder going to the wall. So, but punt return, it is totally different. So it takes a special breed to be a punt returner. A lot of people don't like to do it. Why? Because the other thing, too, is you don't want to let that ball bounce just because it can go. So running up to catch it, you know, and keeping your eyes on that ball, it is an art to be a punt returner.
Last year, regular, well, this completed, already talking about him in the past tense, Nolan, but the past season, which just ended Sunday, most returns were Deontay Hardy with 8 for 85 yards. His longest was 16, had 4 fair catches. Then you had Tylan Wallace with 6 returns, 12 fair catches. And then Steven Sims, Desmond King was in there for a minute. So, yeah, not a, like you just said, Vinny, kickoff return, right, we'll get a guy.
Yeah.
But punt return, is that player, I mean, Tylan Wallace, free agent, by the way, is that player even on the team right now?
No, because all those guys are free agents. Yeah. So I don't think they have a guy, you know, and in the draft or go get a veteran guy. I kind of see them getting a veteran dude, you know, just a trust factor than trusting a rookie.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, news from the Nest here on this Total Request Thursday. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass, Todd Monken. He's not out of the head coaching search yet, especially what's going on in Jacksonville with what's happening there. By the way, Trent Baalke, we were talking about him yesterday, and then we get off the air, and
he's fired.
He got the Felix Unger frying pan. Get out of here.
Well, I think what happened was everybody was pulling out. And the owner finally figured out what everybody else knew, that Trent Baalke was the issue. So now that Trent Baalke's out, because they said it was, they have two more, they have two interviews coming in for the second, Saleh and Patrick Graham from the Raiders. And both were fired this season. So they're talking, because you had just said that, who's coming in?
Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore's coming in for an interview. So it would not shock me if Todd Monken or Joe Brady also was brought back in now.
Now, that being said, Todd Monken sticking around Baltimore, that would be a big deal, wouldn't it, John Harbaugh?
It's not for me to really know. I don't know for sure. I think it's awesome and great that these have gotten an opportunity over the last few years. You know, I'm kind of proud that guys are getting opportunities now, whatever those might be. I'm not exactly a better beat on that than I do sometimes, you know, in terms of following up on what's going on, but most deserving of, and I'm happy for him. I'd love to keep him, you know, and if I tell him, I say, you know, I'm rooting for you, you know, I'll definitely tell people how great you are because you deserve it. But if it doesn't work out for you, I'm really happy that you're staying with us. And I think our players, I've talked to a lot of our players, and I know our players feel the same way.
Yeah, me being selfish, you know, and yeah, would I love Todd to get a job? Yes. But being a Ravens fan, I want Todd to stay because I saw what year one to year two happened. And can you imagine year two to year three, just because you got Lamar taking it to another level. Bateman's kind of got his crap together now, you know, sure. I mean, ready to go. I can incorporate new things, and Tez Walker should be ready to add something. And I've got Derrick Henry year two. My offensive line is going to be, you know, that much more experience. Warhop has been there a whole year. So, I mean, there's a lot of good things that are going to go on. So, I mean, being selfish, I'd love to continue the continuity, but Todd's going to have to get paid, too.
Hey, and look at Mike McDonald.
Yeah.
Year one, year two.
Oh, big time.
And then he got himself a head coaching job, and same could be for Todd Monken.
Who's 58.
But that's kind of, if he was 10 years younger.
Oh, he'd be gone.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fair or unfair, it's just the way of the world.
Yeah, because they want the boy wonder. You know, Ben Johnson's 38. And, you know, I don't know, Aaron Glenn's probably in his 40s, I'm guessing.
Got drafted in 94. I'm guessing he was 22. Let's do math. Probably early 50s.
Okay, yeah. All right. So, Todd, does he deserve one? I think he'd do a hell of a job. I think he'd do a hell of a job.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan, we have time for one more here. Let's talk about Darius Washington, at least the impressions that he made on Eric DaCosta.
Yeah, you know, our Darius got a chance, and I'll credit the coaches. You know, I mean, we're at a point in the season where we're looking for solutions to play better. And John and Zach and Chris, they all kind of got together and had a game plan. And I give the coaches a lot of credit for doing that. It really turned our season around, and our Darius is a great example of a guy that got a chance and ran with it. We knew, you know, I'll go back to his draft class year. You know, he went undrafted because he's a step slow. He's a couple inches smaller, and we got him, and we were excited when we got him as an undrafted free agent because he was a great football player. And the question really becomes, can he do the same thing at our level that he did at the college level? He got hurt a couple of years, unfortunate injuries, a lot like Rashad in that way, you know, his early first couple of years.
I think Adarius Washington really, you know, he was a, well, I was going to say a better version of Geno Stone. The only thing Geno Stone did that Adarius Washington can't do is catch the interceptions. Adarius should have had probably four interceptions, and he dropped them all. So that is the only, you know, negative. But he comes up, and he's physical, and he'll tackle and all that. But going forward, I don't know if they want Kyle Hamilton in the back end all the time. I think they want him blitzing and being more active like he was Mike McDonald year. Because, you know, I mean, if he's going to make the big bucks like he's going to get ready to make, Bob, I want him making plays, which he didn't get to make as many this year because he had to solidify things in the back end. And the reason he had to solidify things, because he's so smart and the communication, you know, so if you move him up, are you hurting your communication in the back end?
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Will come back, count some dough, hopefully. A little buy or sell, talk about sports subjects of this day. And bottom of the hour, the Wizard Walt Williams, Maryland legend, will preview Maryland at Illinois tonight. Terps looking for their first road win of the season. Only 6-21 with Kevin Willard as head coach away from, well, not away from the Xfinity Center. They do okay, neutral site, but winning on the road.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Not so much.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Total Request Thursday, picking songs, playing them at your request. Send that request to Nolan Plaza for text line 410-583-1057. Get your votes in, featured artist Friday. That's coming up in about an hour and a half. Tons going on in the world of sports. You got the NFL championship games coming up. Maryland's got two big road games happening. We're less than a month away from pitchers and catchers. Yes, Major League Baseball. But let's count the dough by ourselves.
Bob, the Dow, it's up 255. It's at 44,412. And I was listening to one of the money shows yesterday, and they think the Dow by the end of the year will be up over 50,000 on the Dow. S&P's up 8. NASDAQ is down 48. DraftKings is up 30 cents. Under Armour's down 6 cents.
Get our sports topics started in college basketball, where Dan Hurley, he went viral the other night. Another outburst with the refs. That's his calling card. Huskies were taking on Butler. They picked up the win, a narrow win at that, just 2 points. It was a game where Butler had a lot more free throws than UConn, and Hurley was not pleased about that. Was seen barking at the ref at one point in the game, and a lot of lip readers out there were able to decipher him saying, "Don't turn your back on me. I'm the best coach in the effing sport."
Yikes.
Afterwards, he took it a step further, said that UConn doesn't get officiated properly as back-to-back champs with so much recent success. He also blamed the media for always seeming to have the camera on him and not other coaches who also have outbursts. Are you buying or selling, Bob, Hurley's claims of unfair officiating?
I'm selling it, first of all. He brings the attention on himself, because he is really demonstrative.
Yep.
And we know that we're not saying, like, Kevin Willard will be watching tonight in Underwood. They'll get testy. They'll be leaning on the referees, but they're not going to go crazy. He goes Bobby Knight nuts from the open. Remember when he was at Rhode Island and him and Turgeon almost got into a fist fight 10 years ago, one of them preseason tournaments? I think it was in Bermuda. He gets crazy. So he brings that on himself, and he's the best coach in the effing sport. Is that what he said? Some people debate that, but they are the two-time defending national champs. They've hit a rough patch here as of late, but remaking the roster like everyone has to do. Nah. Put the crying towel down. Not buying it. Towel!
Over to the NFL, Von Miller had a bounce-back regular season. He was searching for that. Because in 2023, he recorded no sacks in his recovery from injury. This time of year, though, usually when he's at his best, 10.5 career postseason sacks to his name. That's the most among all active players. Didn't bring down Bo Nix in the wildcard game. Only played 29% of the snaps against Baltimore. Didn't bring down Lamar in that game. So Vinny, buy or sell, Von Miller will finally get home by sacking Mahomes on Sunday.
Sell it. Sell it. Mahomes doesn't... he's good at getting rid of the ball. Von Miller's not going to win one-on-one. Yeah, so no.
It looks like his play time's dropping, too. Played half the snaps in the wild card, only 30%, 29% against the Ravens.
Yeah. I guess that says that production is down.
We'll talk a little baseball here. Three new players voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame earlier this week, but a prominent name remains on the outside looking in. Talking about Andrew Jones, who received 66% of the available vote on his eighth year of eligibility. So he's inching closer to the 75% threshold, but already through 8 years on the ballot, time is running out. One of his former teammates and fellow Hall of Famer, Chipper Jones, came to his defense, tweeted out, said this, quote, "I want to ask all Hall of Fame voters one question. If Andrew Jones played for the New York Yankees for 15 years, had 10 gold gloves, the 400 homers, 1,300 RBIs, is he a Hall of Famer? Let me answer that for you." Chipper says he's first ballot if that's the case. Are you buying or selling Chipper's take?
That Jones would be a first ballot Hall of Famer? I'm selling it.
For the Yankees.
I'm selling that. Because if you're listening now to the show and you remember me back at WNST 20 years ago, when he was first Andrew Jones. Remember, he came to national prominence when he was 18, hitting home runs off Andy Pettit in the 96 World Series. Two, I believe, in the same game. I would have paid him $20 million a year back in 2004, which would have been crazy money. That's how much I loved Andrew Jones. But he cratered. I mean, he went from being, he's definitely one of the best defensive center fielders to ever live. Had that power. Got a little chunky as the Father Time started to catch up to him, like we all do except for Vinny, because he does 2.5 hours on a treadmill, which be the only thing I'm doing in 2.5 hours is driving Ocean City, if you know what I mean. But I'm selling it. He was a great player, probably eventually gets in. But even if he played for the Yankees, I don't know if he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Sorry, Chipper.
So the only knock against
poor Larry
him is his last 4 or 5 years? You just did, I don't know. I mean, you win 10 straight gold gloves.
I'm hearing what you're saying.
No,
I've watched his whole career. First ballot, if he was in New York, I'm selling that.
I'll go back to
the Atlanta Braves were pretty prominent during his days. You know what I mean?
The Eagles' defense took a hit earlier this season when Brandon Graham went down with his injury. A torn tricep was immediately labeled season-ending. A crushing feeling for a veteran who's actually one of the only few Eagles still around from the 2017 Super Bowl team. Came back this year on the one-year deal to chase that feeling one more time. So during a recent interview, he was asked if there's any chance, any possibility of him suiting up if the Eagles are able to win this Sunday and make the Super Bowl. The interviewers noting former Eagle Terrell Owens returning from a fractured fibula to play in Super Bowl 39. Now, Graham didn't rule it out, just stressed that he wants to see his teammates win on Sunday. But Vinny, are you buying or selling, or buy or sell, if the Eagles make the Super Bowl, Graham will be out there in some capacity?
In a uniform? Well, I'll sell that. If he in a uniform, I'll sell. I've had a torn tricep. It takes a while. Mm-hmm. And then you gotta strengthen, you know, because you can't work your arm at all and your tricep, you know. So, no, I don't see him being back.
And that was Ray Lewis's injury during the Ravens Super Bowl year. Torn tricep.
Deer antler.
Right. Oh, hey, get Brandon Graham on the supplements there. Let's help him out.
I mean, what happens when you tear your tricep is it just shrivels. It just, you know, because it rips and it just shrivels up into a ball. Mm-hmm. And you can feel it because it pops.
It's like a rubber band or something.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And lastly here in the NBA, the trade deadline is 2 weeks away, but the Suns in the meantime are stockpiling some draft picks. They worked out a deal earlier this week to land three picks from the Jazz in exchange for a 2031 first rounder. It's crazy we can trade that far in advance, but the thought here is that they have their eyes on a big ticket player and they needed the resources to get him. Jimmy Butler is the big name popping up, but Mark Stein reporting that there's no specific follow-up move that they have lined up to acquiring all those picks from Utah. Bob, buy or sell, the Suns actually won't pull off a blockbuster deal with their new resources.
Well, I'm buying it. I mean, lottery tickets and magic beans that are the draft picks. I mean, you don't know what you're getting out of that. Just look at this year's draft. How many first-rounders are doing nothing but splinter timing it? And Jimmy Buckets is 35, 36 years old. Just got suspended again for missing a team flight. This current crop of Suns are having a hard time getting the chemistry together. They've actually been one of the more disappointing teams in the NBA. I do not say or see Nolan them pulling the blockbuster, so I'm selling that. I know they're going to be paying a lot, whatever. It is. They got a massive payroll, and Matt Ishbia seems to have a short fuse, and he's quick to make changes. So we shall see. We'll come back, talk some college hoops with the Wizard, Walt Wibbs, tonight, Maryland at Illinois. So Walt will preview that game with him. Illinois, they can score points. They don't shoot all that great, but they get a ton of offensive rebounds, and they have a couple of possible first-round picks as well. Coming up at 1 o'clock, NFL Lunch. Going to hear from, you know, the other teams playing, you know, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Philadelphia and Washington. And we talked about this in the first segment of the show. The best team in football. They're not even playing anymore. Well, the Ravens played all four of those teams and lost to three of them. So are they really the best team? They're not playing this week.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Total request Thursday. Pick a song. We'll play it. Little Joe Cocker here. Singing a Beatles tune. A little help, my friends. 580 V Serato, Nolan McGraw. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. Bringing that one out. About an hour or so. Terps tonight at Illinois. Taking on the 17th ranked Fighting Illini. Here to preview that. Talk about the season. 19 games in. Have the Maryland Terrapins built an NCAA tournament resume? I guess it depends on who you ask. And we're talking to a guy that's there all the time. He's a Maryland legend. He's a friend of the show. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's the Wizard, Walt Williams. Walt, what is up?
How you doing, brother?
I'm hanging in there, man. Appreciate the time as always. Let's go back real quick to the Nebraska win. Looked like things were comfortable. About 5 minutes left. Terps are up 9. Then they kind of let things get a little haywire there. Offensively, Nebraska does come in, ties it up, but Gillespie made the big hoop down the stretch. But the insertion of Jordan Geronimo in after kind of pining it since that Washington game really gave them a burst of energy. Why has he been kind of, you know, on the outs? I know he was hurt, but Does that maybe give him an opportunity to get more minutes, knowing that there's, you know, a lot of competition at that spot right now?
Yeah, I think you just hit it right there. You know, I think Geronimo is just a victim of circumstance. You're talking about Juju, Queen, Gapari. All of those guys have been playing well, so it's hard to keep them off of the floor. And so, you know, and what they can do on the offensive end is something that gives them an advantage. And so Geronimo, he just got to wait his time by his time. And at the end of the day, when it's about what's happening in the game, how the floor of the game is going. If the team is struggling with their energy level, his chances are Geronimo going to get out there, because he's a guy who can turn things around for us, as you mentioned there against that Nebraska team. His energy that he brought to the table at the end of that first half, it ignited the team and was helpful. It helped them come out in that second half and play better. And then, you know, he made a couple of plays down the stretch on the defensive end in terms of rebounding the ball and making it tough for the opposition.
Now, Walt, we've talked about Derek Queen a lot, rightfully so, one of the top freshmen in the country, projected just a couple of days ago by ESPN to be one of the top 15 prospects for the upcoming draft. But, man, things have kind of quieted down for him consistency-wise. Robbie Hummel was giving him the business on Sunday for not knowing that Nebraska was in a 1-1, didn't box out. They got the offensive rebound. I mean, he got his boards, but it was foul trouble. The offense kind of wasn't there. Two-party, do you believe in the freshman wall? And secondly, has he hit it? And is it because the other teams are now kind of concentrating on taking him out of the game?
Oh, man, I got all the confidence in the world in Queen, man. That dude is just a heck of a talent. And, you know, he's a freshman. There's a learning curve that goes here. He is not playing against high school kids anymore, you know. And so oftentimes when you're talking about the COVID years or whatever, these guys are 25, 26 years old. You know, it's a different environment that you're in. And so he has to make that adjustment consistently throughout the season. You know, early on, people didn't have an idea what he could bring to the table, what skills at the high school level we're going to transfer early on. He showed that. Now they're going to make adjustments. They're going to make adjustments. And so now that's what he has to do. And I think that's collectively him on himself, but also the coaches being able to help him with videotape, seeing things and being able to point out things or with their experience to be able to help him. And then also his teammates. You know, his teammates have been in the fire. He has guys who are veteran players who can assist him and help him with that. I think at the high school ranks, he's a bit of a victim of the game just being easy for him, you know, against those guys. He's just so talented. And now we come into the college ranks. Early on, it seemed like it would be that way as well. But you make adjustments at this level, and he's going to make his as well. So I'm not worried about that at all. Like I said, this is early on. I expect him to make the adjustments, whatever those things are, and finish out the season on all cylinders.
The Wizard Walt Williams, Maryland legend, part of the Maryland Radio Network, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Terps tonight against Illinois, 9 o'clock tip. Now, 6-21, Kevin Willard on the road. And it's not, Walt, like they're getting spanked on a daily basis. They're games they probably should win, Northwestern, Washington, Purdue, a month or so ago. What's it going to take for them to get over the hump and turn these heartbreaking close losses into resume-building wins here?
Yeah, they've had opportunities to win all of those games that they lost on the bowl. So, they have to be a bit more solid, especially down the stretch. Teams with those individuals that can create from the perimeter seem to hurt us at the end of games. You look at Braden Smith at Purdue, Cam and Marquette, Martelli at Northwest, even Shelitad at Oregon, you know, down the stretch, just making those plays. So we got to be better defensively overall down the stretch. And then offensively, these teams also, they bring a defensive prowess just like us. But to me, we've had the offensive advantage in most of those games. So we just got to have that a better comfort level on the road and settle in. But, you know, it's a little bit more difficult to be consistent offensively on the road like you are at home. But defense should travel, you know. So got to be better defensively and especially finishing off defensive possessions, rebounding the ball.
Now, Illinois 13-5, they're 5-3, maybe the most talented team in the conference, inch for inch, pound for pound. This Kasparis kid's going to be a top five pick, it looks like, in the lottery. He's going to be a matchup nightmare for Kevin Willard. They're high octane, they crash the board. So how does Maryland pull the upset, given the fact they're pretty significant underdogs here?
Yeah, they have guys. This is a team just like the Terps. The way they score the ball, they have many guys that can hurt you. So it's hard to focus in on one. But Kasparis, you know, Jokotonis, he's a guy who is versatile. He can do a lot of different things. So you want to be able to control him and not have him, especially at the end of games, just take over. You mentioned that you talking about Humrick House, 6'9" freshman, and Ivicic, a 7'1" sophomore. These guys crash the boards. They are a big team. We have to control glass. That's where they are not a tremendous scoring team, but they give themselves second chance opportunities. They defend well, and so we have to be able to control glass and allow ourselves to get out on a break and try to have opportunities and transition rather than setting up half court every time.
Now, their road trip is Illinois, Indiana. What do you think of the Indiana matchup? That should be I won't say closer, but a lesser point spread.
Well, yeah, you know, Indiana has had its troubles so far, but, you know, I think Minnesota might be a team that struggles in this league, but hey, they beat Michigan, you know, mm-hmm. So you never know what's going to happen here. But I think other than that, I think all of these teams are capable of winning in any game and capable of losing in any game. To me, this year is like no other season in terms of how many teams have parity. Even when you look at the teams that are at the top, any one of these teams can beat them. And so, you know, Indiana, I don't look at their record. I don't look at what they've done in the past. You look at the talent level that they have, and at any time, they can get it going. Just like this Illinois team, they have blown out many of their opposition in these last few games they played. But maybe like five out of their last six wins have been by margins of at least 20. You know, so there's opportunities, or there's going to be times where these teams can just get it going, and that's any team in the Big Ten this season.
He's the Wizard Walt Williams, Maryland Radio Network, Maryland legend. All right, Walt, I'll probably be more towards the Sandman time once this game finishes around 11 plus. But say tomorrow night I'm doing a celebratory vodka drink. What kind of vodka am I guzzling down the old suck hole here?
You absolutely want to use Clutch Vodka. It's the smoothest tasting vodka on the market. Premium vodka, but affordable pricing. So gluten-free, no sugar, no carbs, so we can make sure we're not putting all that weight on you. And, you know, it's organically filtered. So, and the biggest thing is that a portion of our sales go back to the NIL program at the University of Maryland, One Maryland Collective. We wanted the community to be a part of giving back, and so we thought that this would be a great way to do that. So, you know, check us out at www.clutchspirits.com, and you'll be able to find the locations where we are.
Wiz, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, brother. I'll see you next week.
Here he is, the Wizard Walt Williams, Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan will come back, reset for you, NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll look at the Ravens roster, maybe start handing out some grades, and definitely look at the schedule with the opponents. We know who they're playing. Nolan, I'm seeing five primetime games at least in 2025. And then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, talk real and fantasy football with him. Think about this. From a daily fantasy perspective, Patrick Mahomes might be the cheapest quarterback going this weekend. And Kyle Van Noy is in. TJ Watt is out. So there you go. Now, how many of these Ravens show up for the Pro Bowl festivities? It's no longer a game. And I actually like it better this way. in another week or so remains to be seen. For instance, will Lamar Jackson be partaking in the ceremonies and the contest and all the fun that goes along with that?
I don't know, Bob, because I don't know Lamar well enough to. It sounds like he doesn't like hanging out with a bunch of dudes. So if it was in Florida, I would say yes, he would. But, you know, I don't know if he will or if he won't.
NFL lunch coming up top of the hour. Going to hear from Jaden Daniels and Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, all these championship games happening. You can hear it on 105.7 The Fan. Remember, Sunday, Maryland's at Indiana, taking on the Hoosiers, followed by your championship game. So a lot of sports coming your way Sunday here on 105.7 The Fan. Let's get out to the phones. Go to D.C. It's Darren. Darren, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Real quick before I get into the Ravens, I wish that Juwan Howard was still at Michigan and Michigan playing Connecticut. All of that hurly chatter and I'm the best coach of the game would get knocked out of him, because this dude's arrogance, what he did with Maryland several years ago with Mello, Trimble, and the rest of the guys calling each and every one of those players BS to their faces in the receiving line. That's why Turgeon went after him, and that was one of the few times I supported him. Hurley's just – he's an insecure, cowardly human being.
Well, his old man was kind of – you know, he was a little rambunctious himself. And Bobby, he goes bananas too. They just don't win as much as UConn does out at Arizona State.
Exactly right. Quickly with the Orioles fans, the Orioles are telegraphing what they think their team is by not re-signing Santander, Corbin Burns. Burns, et cetera. When you see them go all in on one or two free agents, they feel like they then have a team that's going to win. This year is probably 85 to 88 win team, maybe get the wild card berth, and then hopefully the prospects have fully matured and they'll be able to do something in 26. Now, for the Ravens, this is what I would suggest they do one of these three things. Benny, you and I talked about Tomlin's situation and that this team incredibly struggles with it from the coaching staff all the way through the players. One, I would get someone on offense that is a proven champion. Could be a tight end, Shannon Sharp. Somebody that can help Lamar lead, to keep everybody on time. Like, this is what we got to do. Buffalo can't beat us, guys. Unless we turn the ball over. They're not as good as us. They're going for the ball. You constantly have to have that being reinforced. Lamar's doing what he can. Two, and it's going to hurt people in Baltimore, trade Mark Andrews. He's got a huge cap hit. I'm trading him down to Tampa Bay to be reunited with his good buddy Baker Mayfield. He would be an immediate upgrade over what they have. Get a fourth-round pick and possibly Chris Godwin, who's coming off an injury after the Ravens game. The last thing that I do, and I'm not firing John, but I'm sending him to the same sports psychologist that Lamar went to last offseason to understand that you got to trust yourself. That first two-point conversion was not needed. Why? You score that point, I'm pretty confident that the man across the field from you is Sean McDermott, who panics regularly, would have said, guys, they're on us. We got to start throwing the ball. We get a turnover. Ravens get a turnover. We're now headed to Kansas City. Bottom line is John's got to see the game a little bit differently. That's all I've got, guys.
All right. Thank you, Darren. What do you think? Mark Andrews, Likely, and Kohler are all entering the walk year of their contract here.
Yeah. The one in a trade, Bob, I'm guessing that would have the most value might be Likely. Just because he's young. But, I mean, I'm not...
I'd be reluctant to make
yes,
that
I
move.
Would. Yes, I would. With Andrews, it's a big, big hit. If I think I have my best team, Bob, I'm keeping them all right now. You know, and I think the offense is going to be pretty damn good. I ain't getting rid of anybody.
And you said that with Brian Wacker a couple hours ago, and I agree with you, Nolan, real quick before we get to the top of the hour. Going into this season,
yes,
they're probably best situated than they've been during Lamar era.
With coaching and players
sure.
and stuff, absolutely.
Right, and how many times have we seen, you know, Mark Andrews get a little banged up? over the past couple of years. Have to miss some time, whether it's just a few games here and there, and likely stepped up very nicely. Well, you got to factor for injury. It'd be great if both are healthy for the entire season, and they showed this year that there's ways to get them involved at the same time. But yeah, I'm not going to willingly give one of them away because injuries do happen.
And I am going to draft one.
Because the Kohler factor, too. He's free agent, too.
Yeah, because they all are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like if Andrews were to leave, then that's kind of what the young guy has been there for a year and learning.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, it's NFL Lunch. Talk more about the Ravens. Hear more from the Ravens. Also hear from Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jay Daniels ahead of the championship games coming up this weekend. Coming up at 1:15, we'll look at the Ravens' opponents for 2025. Not just from a primetime game status, which they're going to get a ton of, but on paper. It's a really, really hard schedule. Then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Talk real and fantasy football with him and everything else that's going on in his mind, which is a lot.